Sports Studios, you'd rather be here. And now, from the Lithia Body and Paint Sports Desk, powered by BMW of Des Moines, this is an X's and O's update on 1460 KXNO.
And I'm Frank Condon. We start in hockey, a dominating performance from the Iowa Wild.
For Mayhew, right wing side, wrapped up by big Jared Tenorti, the Burnsville, Minnesota native. Now a backdoor pass, he scores! Bit left side, charging in. Left to back, O'Reilly, back to Bin, through one in front, they score!
Two of the seven Wild goals there from Joe O'Donnell on KXNO. Game two of the five-game series continues tomorrow night at Wells Fargo Arena. To baseball, and Marcell Ozuna stays hot for the Cardinals.
Ozuna drives it out to left field. This is trouble for the Mets. That ball is down. Goldschmidt from first to third to the plate, and he'll score.
The call from Fox Sports Midwest as the Cardinals take two of three from the Mets. In Chicago, the Cubs walk it off against the Diamondbacks.
The pitch, Cox win, David Bodie knocks in Baez. Happy Easter, everybody.
It's the Easter Bodie.
The call from NBC Sports Chicago. The Cubs take 2-3 from Arizona. An off day today before they welcome in the Dodgers for a three-game set beginning tomorrow night. Tonight, 6:10, Kansas City in Tampa. White Sox are in Baltimore to face the Orioles. 6:45, Brewers Cardinals. And the Twins are in Houston to face the Astros.
Live from the Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson Studios, you'd rather be here. This is 1460 KXNO. Sports radio in Iowa starts and ends right here. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. With you for the next hour. Glad you're with us here on 1460. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll take our first look at one of the four local teams, the Chiefs in the spotlight today. Hopefully the Packers tomorrow will finish up on Wednesday prior to the draft with the Vikings and the Chicago Bears, a couple of division rivals. But we're going to do this every day this week and, of course, recap on Friday. Scale of 1 to 10, your excitement level for Thursday, will it build? Are you there yet? Do you care?
Getting there without the Bears having a first-round selection, right? That certainly dissipates it. But with both fans and Hockenson and their opportunity to be drafted, not just in the first round, but maybe first 15 picks or so, that certainly will build it. I'll be excited for that on Thursday, but I'm not as big of an NFL draft guy as you are. I know throughout the weekend you'll still be clicking in from time to time.
Well, for Thursday and Friday, I'll watch all of it.
Start to finish.
Yeah, but Saturday kind of dip in and out a little bit, depending on what else is going on. Yeah, I love it. I really do. It's the halfway point of the offseason. I mean, it's unofficial and maybe would not to the day, but close enough.
Are you excited about your team, the Broncos? Are you?
Well, I looked at the schedule when it came out, and the NFL is not excited about my team. They're in prime time. Well, everybody's in at once, right? The Thursday night mandatory.
Yep.
But other than that, the Broncos, if they didn't reside in the AFC West, they might not have got a game. And it seemingly happens every single year, or certainly two out of three, that if you're a Broncos fan or a Raiders fan, you have to wait until the very last game. Game 16 of opening week. That 9:20 Beth Moen special on ESPN on that Monday night. I mean, come on. We had all off season. You go through Sunday, you don't get to see your team. They got a 6 o'clock kick on Monday night. The A team is there, and you get saddled with Beth Moens.
Not the best.
No, it's not.
No.
But no primetime, so the NFL doesn't think that they're going to be worth a crap as far as their pick.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm not as... I shouldn't say that. I still love them. But am I excited about the pick?
Not so much.
Not really. I mean, Elway can't get a quarterback to save his life.
And the thing is, you still, even though the Chiefs are a division rival, you like talking about that team.
Oh, God, yeah.
And with Patrick Mahomes, right, your guy, you were... This was a disagreement. We had a veering off point with Patrick Mahomes. I talk about being dead wrong. This could go down as one of the worst calls of my career.
Right.
It's not that I didn't think he was talented. That's obvious. But we see so many guys like this, big arm, come in. But there's something to be said, at least to me, about being a winner. And he never was a winner. I know the defense was bad. I know he has absolutely nothing to do with that.
You're right. He had to, his team had to put up, his offense had to put up 40-plus every week.
Lost 66-10 in Ames.
I know they did.
That lingered for me.
Mm-hmm.
He could put up yards. Maybe he'd be a Jeff George type. Not in terms of personality, but in terms of, could put numbers up, but you're never going to win big with him as a quarterback. I feel like I was so wrong on this one, and I'm going to be wrong for a long time.
You are, Trent, at least a decade for sure. If you're a fan of a team that's not named the Chiefs in the AFC West, it's going to be no picnic going up against that squad twice a year with that QB.
NFL schedules, in fact, we didn't even get into it much last week. Four prime timers for the Browns.
They got four, okay.
Prime timers
Chiefs
for the Browns.
Chiefs have five. Which is right. I mean, they've got a marquee, one of the faces of the league.
Who else in the AFC outside of the Patriots?
Who, by the way, did you see that somebody put up a prop that the Patriots will go the longest before they lose a football game?
Oh.
I'm not buying that.
I don't think so either.
Last time they won the Super Bowl, they got beaten week one. Maybe the Chiefs picked them off.
They historically struggle early in the season. Miami, I think that's week two for them at Miami, who's going to be terrible. But it's a road game in Miami.
And they struggle in Miami.
Yeah, September, hot. It's going to be 88 degrees with stifling humidity.
They open Pittsburgh at Miami, Jets, Buffalo at Buffalo at Washington. So it's not exactly murderer's row. I mean, I guess I understand why that would be the team that they would. I mean, they got to make somebody the favorite.
Right.
But, boy, that's a bet against for me.
I'd be right there with you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I had people, can you bet this for me? I got to get 20 on the Vikings or can you bet the Eagles? Folks, hold your money. Do it yourself. You'll be able to go to Altoona or to Jefferson here this summer and do it, and you have your own ticket and have the experience of betting it for yourself. You don't need me running your bets for you.
That'll be another thing. I'll be interested to see the future props and the prices that we get. We talked about just individual games, but how much those will also be slanted.
Yeah, so the Iowa State win total 7.5 in Vegas. What's it going to be in Jefferson or in Altoona?
Right.
Right? Is it going to be 8? Is it going to creep up to 8.5?
And it could be different in each of those locations or Riverside or
Shop
Quad
around.
Cities, whatever it may be. That price, what it's going to be for Nebraska in the win total in Council Bluffs.
Yes, excellent point.
As opposed to what it's going to be
excellent point
in Waterloo.
Yep.
Completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be different in each
and
of the
Nebraska,
books.
Trent, honest to God, I don't think 50 states.
Yep.
Nebraska will be somewhere in the... There's some that are... I mean, Utah, I don't think it's
Utah
ever,
will be never.
Never, right. Nebraska's not far from never. Nebraska had pari-mutuel wagering forever, right? Everybody used to run over to Exarban from here before Prairie was built, when horse racing was the only thing you could do, gambling-wise. The bridge from Omaha to Council Bluffs, and you're going to have to... You know, if you are a mobile player, it's going to shut off once you get halfway through the bridge, over the bridge.
That was something I wanted to ask you about, us being a border state.
Geofencing. Well, they'll shut you right down.
So same thing, Quad City. So our friend Tom Kaker, I believe, lives on the Illinois side.
Does he? He's out.
So he's sitting in his house. He can't?
No.
Even though he opened the account there?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I could have opened it, or anybody, any tourist going to Nevada right now could open up a mobile sports betting account.
And if you're going to Vegas for the Super Bowl,
it's the only
or
way
the
to
NCAA
do it.
Tournament, you almost have to.
Absolutely, because the lines are just,
yep.
Get there, the first thing you do, we'll check in your room, then go sign up for your account. But once you leave the state of Nevada, or coming to our state soon, once you get beyond the borders, and I'm not talking miles, I'm talking literally inches/feet. Geofencing, wham, shuts you down, and you are unable to bet.
We should have maybe got in a few years ago, huh?
There's a number of them, Trent.
Yeah.
We'll take a timeout. Nick Athan on the Chiefs next. Miller and Condon till noon. Dylan Montz on Iowa State in about 20 minutes. We will dot I's, cross T's as the Cyclones are finished for the spring. It's time to go for the green with KXNO and EKG Golf. Text the keyword super to 200-200 right now. Enter to win $1,000 cash. That's super to 200-200. Standard message and data rate supply. Kansas City Chiefs conversation next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, the Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Between now and the end of our show on Wednesday, we're going to talk to someone representing all four of our Local teams coverage-wise today, the Chiefs are in the spotlight. Nick Athan, our go-to guy, ChiefsBlitz.com. You can follow Nick on Twitter, at Chiefs Insider. He joins us. Nick Trenken, good to talk to you. How are you as we come to the unofficial halfway point of the offseason?
Yeah, thank God, man. When's the Super Bowl get here? That's all I care about.
I got you. You must have whatever. You must cover a team that's got a legitimate chance.
Hey, you know, I do live in Florida, and the next two Super Bowls are here, so I like the chances.
So, gotcha.
Yes, I do thankfully cover a team finally that has a legitimate chance to be world champions once again.
Indeed. Well, let's get we got schedule to get to, but let's first of all start to the seemingly the rumor that's out there, Nick. And as Trent and I have talked about, and you certainly well know that you know, the Chiefs right now window wide open because Patrick Mahomes isn't going to be on a rookie contract forever in one of these years, not too many years down the road, too. Is going to just blow by the money Russell Wilson got in all likelihood, and he will be, come at least for a while, the NFL's highest paid player. So you got to make make hay while you can. Does the trade Frank Clark, who is an elite defensive end from Seattle, and that's the rumor, that the Chiefs would give up their first pick, 29 overall, take Clark. But what comes with Clark is, A, a whole lot of skill, but B, a whole lot of money, because he's looking to get paid. Can they do so knowing what's coming with the quarterback in the next couple of years?
Well, I think that's the plan. I mean, I think they realize the two-year window. I mean, listen, just to be fair, Patrick Mahomes is going to get his contract, but it's going to be more of how Tom Brady does his contract than having to be the biggest number. He wants to make sure he's got a good team around him. So we're fortunate, and Beach can certainly take advantage of that as he works toward the plan before that extension is announced. But I mean, Clark's a great player. He had some issues in college. Nothing the Chiefs haven't had to deal with Hill and Hunt and, you know, a lot of other players. But, you know, he's been a role model, you know, ever since that incident. He's taken care of business. He is, in my opinion, one of the best pass rushers that's on the market. He's twice the player of Dee Ford. He had a career year last year, kind of like Ford did, but he's got, I think, better pass rushing skills. But I do not think under any circumstance the Chiefs are going to give up that number one pick. I think this is going to be a number two pick and an $85, $90 million contract because I don't think the Chiefs are too enamored with pass rushers outside of Bosa. Clearly, they're not going to be able to get in the top two to be able to get him. So I think this is a move out of, I think, semi-desperation because they really don't have an edge rusher right now. The jury's out on Breland's speak to see if he can be the player they thought he would be. Outside of the Bob Sutton shadow, I guess is the best way to put it. But if this happens, I think they'll give up their second-round pick, you know, maybe a fourth-round pick next year. I don't see the Chiefs making a deal in the first round unless it's for Patrick Peterson, the cornerback from Arizona.
Three selections in the first two rounds, 29, 61, and 63. If they do keep all three of those picks, how big of a surprise would it be to you if they went defense with all three of those picks?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think with the addition of Spagnuolo as the defensive coordinator, you know, all of a sudden some of the fringe players, maybe the guys who didn't get opportunities the last couple of years, you're going to have a really solid chance to step up and be a better defensive unit. So I could certainly see them going cornerback, safety, maybe edge rusher. I think personally it's going to be cornerback, safety, wide receiver. And I would not be shocked if they took a wide receiver in the first round, especially if they get their edge rusher and the quarterback. Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, you've got the Tyreek Hill situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's definitely some unknowns there. You know, you've got Sammy Watkins with the injury issues. You got Demarcus Robinson, he's a good player, but they don't really have anything. You know, Beach can talk about Byron Pringle from Kansas State, who looked really good last year before his injury, and Dieter and a couple of these other unknowns. But I personally think the Chiefs are going to take a wide receiver, whether it's round one or round two, somebody that they think they can plug in. The kid from Oklahoma, you know,
Brown.
Yeah, I mean, if he falls, the Chiefs are at 29. You know, I think if that cornerback or safety that they want isn't there, or they think they can get him in the second round, Do not be shocked if the Chiefs take a wide receiver in the first round.
So would Brown, because as you started to say, Nick, he's not the biggest kid. I mean, he's, I don't think he's 5'10". No. I don't. I think he's like 5'9", was not, nine is what he's listed at. He's 170 pounds, but he's very quick. Is and I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill. There's only one Tyreek Hill in the league. But he might be a poor man's Tyreek Hill because we're not sure he's going to be there, Hill.
Yeah, I think he's Dante Hall with better receivers at that stage of their careers. I mean, I think that's what he is.
That'll work.
If both of them are on the field at the same time, Washington can be healthy and Robinson can contribute, and you got still got Kelce, and then they can focus on getting a running back in the second round, then all bets are off. This offense is going to score 40 points a game, and that's all there is to it. So you have to look at, do you attack your weakness or do you attack your strength? I've always believed, you know, again, if Sutton was defensive coordinator, this philosophy would be out the window. But with Spags, defense is going to be better just on the coaching that they have. I think you always upgrade, your strength as a football team. You got to make it stronger because defense has started to figure out Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, you know, over the last 3-4 weeks of the season. Certainly the Patriots did. And they just didn't have another solution offensively. Outside of Watkins in that second half, really, that they could go to. Now, Williams had a nice game, the running back, but you got to have as many options as you want. And if you want to be successful with Patrick Mahomes, you know, he needs more weapons. And again, you know, I would not be shocked if they went wide receiver. I really wouldn't.
So, as you mentioned, Tyreek Hill, where do you sit? Anticipate that he will be part of this? What are you hearing? And what are your expectations for him being part of the Chiefs for 2019?
Well, I think he'll be part of the Chiefs for 2019. I pretty much have a pretty strong idea kind of how this thing's going to shake out. He's not been proven guilty. There's no charges being filed. In fact, I think, you know, Overland Park had cleared him on one of them. The second one is an investigation they're doing on the child and the well-being. And, you know, and everybody's assuming his guilt. I think the Star has done a hatchet job on this whole story, something I just don't agree with. But at the end of the day, I think Hill has shown up to this point that he has done everything that's been asked of him. He's gone to counseling. He's done everything. At the end of the day, I think this is a domestic issue between a man and a woman, and I don't think they get along very well. And I think at the end of the day, you know, I think that's what this is. But he's going to be guilty in the public opinion. Unfortunately, that's the way society goes, and politics is bled into sports. And I hope he's there. I think he'll play this year. I think if he is cleared, and I would imagine the Chiefs are hopeful that that clearing comes before the start of the draft, I think he does get a contract extension, and I think everything's going to move forward in the direction that they want. If not, he may play one more year, and then they're likely going to trade him at the end of this year.
Hmm. Well, it'll be interesting because with Goodell in charge of the NFL, if you do anything to, you know, to cause harm to the shield, whether you're found guilty in a court of law or not, or charges are pressed, we've seen suspensions handed down regardless of that. So something certainly worth watching. Nick, in our final few minutes with you, let's get into the schedule real quick. And I got to ask you this. Memory serves, maybe I should have looked. Didn't they open 3 out of 4 on the road last year, the Chiefs, didn't they?
Yeah, much tougher 3 out of 4 last year than they did this year. Actually, the first 4 out of 6 were on the road, including that last number 6 at New England.
Right.
So, that doesn't bother me at all. The Chiefs have always told the NFL they really want as many December games as they can. I think they have 3 home games in December.
They do.
All against the AFC West.
Yep.
You know, had it been their lack of success, if they had poor success last year, I would have said, you know, this is awful, but again, it's not the Raiders. They're gone for 9 weeks.
Right.
So I think Patrick can handle it. I like the way the schedule's kind of laid out for them. You've got Jacksonville, and then you got Oakland. I think the Raiders are an absolute chaos mess. I think they're going to continue to be a mess for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come home, they go back on the road. So, you know, then they get some prime time games at home. So I think the schedule to me is a lot easier in the first maybe 8-10 weeks and a lot tougher. In the second half, they got to go at Chicago, at New England over the final 5 games of the season. Not going to be easy by any stretch, and hopefully at that point, you know, that New England game is for home field advantage. Though I will put on record now, I do not think the Patriots are going to sniff a Super Bowl under Tom Brady ever again. That's just me. I think that ship sailed. I think they were very lucky last year, and they took advantage of it. So to answer your question about schedule, tough at the end, but that's where you want your tough games, because that's what gets you ready for the postseason. And I think that is something that this football team needs, is to have a tougher schedule in December.
I'm no longer picking against Tom Brady ever. I've learned that lesson. Yeah, I like it.
It's done.
You know what? It's going to be real popular, the Chiefs' home schedule, last week of October, first week of November, especially here in Des Moines, Nick. Packers at Chiefs, following week, Vikings at Chiefs. How about that? And the Green Bay Chiefs game is one of five primetime games for the Chiefs. Included in that is that game in Mexico City where they're going to go back to Azteca, right, and try and get it done this year?
Yeah, let's hope so. Something tells me that game's going to be in L.A.
We shall see. Nick Athan, good to talk to you. Nick, we'll talk to you either Friday or Monday in recap, okay?
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good to
appreciate
talk to you.
I
can read Nick, chiefsblitz.com, chiefsblitz.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Chiefs Insider. That's pretty good back-to-back week right there.
That is.
Packers-Vikings.
I know already quite a few people making their way down to Kansas City for that
for one
Chiefs,
of those
Vikings games. Or, yeah, yes, yeah. That's one that has been circled for quite a while from a lot of people up north, I know. So
my son and I have plans to go north to U.S. Bank Stadium for Broncos-Vikings.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I think it will, too.
What's the date on that one?
It's in November. Let me get it. And I'm seeing a lot of people, a lot of Denver, Central Iowa Bronco fans making that trek as well. November 17th, noon.
November 17th.
And that's got no shot of being moved to prime time.
You wouldn't
think. No, he's Denver. They're by, so that'll be a lot of Bronco fans, including this one, in the building.
So we get a late November this year. Thanksgiving, 28th.
Right, 28th.
So this is even a week previous to that.
Mm-hmm. But the season doesn't end. The season ends in December. Sometimes it goes like January 2nd.
Yep.
And it kind of bleeds in a little bit into February, later in February before the Super Bowl, which is fine by me, but not the case this year. Now, there are going to be games on that Saturday, the 21st.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they've got a couple of teams that are either or, I believe.
Is that how they did
I
that?
I think so. Okay. I haven't seen definitive who's playing on Saturday, December the 21st, unless I missed it.
Let me see here if they got it listed here.
They're both NFL Network, so what are you checking? Are you on NFL.com?
I'm on ESPN. They have five games that are listed as TBD for that Sunday. I wonder if those are the ones that they're going to flick three of those five.
Well, three or two or three. Boy, that would be something if there's three games on that day.
It is Detroit at Denver.
Mm-hmm. I knew that was one of them.
Buffalo, New England. Mm-hmm. Oakland, Chargers, 49ers, Rams, and Houston, Tampa. All five of those games are TBD.
What was the one before Houston, Tampa?
Rams, 49ers at 49ers.
That's got a chance to be maybe the best of the bunch of those five. We'll see. It's fun. I love talking schedules. Trent Condon.
Oh, it's good. It's good. Overall, Chiefs schedule, I wasn't... Oh, they really took one in there.
It's not daunting.
No.
I mean, five.
You mentioned
prime
the three out of four early. That was the first thing that jumped to me,
And that was the same as last year. It was four out of six. Nick reminded us.
It wasn't that tough.
No, though. But it's Jacksonville at Jacksonville at Oakland, home to Baltimore at Detroit. Those are the first four, and then you get the Colts and Houston in your building.
I mean, worst case, you're 2-2. I still
they'll be fine.
I still think you're probably writing down 3-1 when you're
absolutely
Chiefs fans W and L in it.
Yeah, who's gonna beat them? Jacksonville,
maybe.
With Nick Foles, we'll see. Dylan Montz joins the program next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Athletic Director Jamie Pollard's oldest son, Thomas, was on our flight with, I'm assuming, the cross-country team.
Uh-huh.
Wednesday going out and yesterday coming back. And it was Thomas's birthday, and they made a big announcement on the plane about, I wish happy birthday, wanted the whole plane to sing, and would you please raise your hand? He was having no part of it.
Not into it, huh?
No. But the flight attendant guy said something about his mom called, and she remembered to pack your Bugs Bunny footy pajamas. And,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they embarrassed the crap out of him. But the Cyclone. Got to be cross-country team. That's what he does there, right?
Yeah, we got Drake Relays this week. This guy that we're talking to next, he's going to be busy down at the Blue Oval.
Is he drawing double duty for the Ames Tribune? Hello, Dylan Motz, Trent and Ken. How are you?
Yeah, doing well, guys, and I will be making some sort of appearance at Drake Stadium. Just not sure how many days, but hopefully we can get a couple sunny ones there.
Where's the line form for the autographs? Are you doing an autograph session, too, as you show up?
Yeah, we can do it at the stairs at the press box.
Okay, all right.
So I don't have to go too far, or the tunnel.
So what angle is the Ames Trib sending you over there for, Dylan? Is there something in particular?
Yeah, I'll be doing a little bit of preps and a little bit of Iowa State.
Gotcha.
Stuff. So kind of, we'll have a couple guys there every day. So just kind of filling in wherever needed. But, yeah, I'll be kind of bouncing back and forth and looking for those kinds of angles.
Well, you've got some time on your hands now that football is over for a spring football is over for another spring. And, you know, Dylan, there's got to be an answer to this question, but I don't think it's as easy as maybe it's been in a lot of years. Is, you know, I'm going to ask you what Iowa State thinks that they've still got some work to do on. What's the one unit that seemingly has the most questions to be answered? And, you know, in previous years, well, you could pick your position group, right? A lot of times, not the case anymore with this new coach. He's built something there. And, you know, normally the answer would be easy. Well, it's the offensive line, and maybe that's the answer because you have to have an answer. It doesn't jump off the page like it used to, does it?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a credit to what they've done to build up some of the skill positions, whether you talk about quarterback, whether you talk about running back, them bringing in guys to the caliber of Breece Hall and Jibril Brock, who will get here this summer, and then having Kamei Nwangu and Johnny Lang and Sheldon Crotty already on campus. Then linebacker and defensive line, I think you've really seen those groups get a lot deeper. So I probably would say the offensive line is 1A and maybe the secondary is 1B. And the secondary is just mainly because those guys are young. I do think they have a lot of talent. They're getting that grad transfer from Rice and Justin Bickham to come in when he graduates from there. So they'll have some reinforcements coming in and some guys they feel good about. But Matt Campbell said it even last Thursday when the media got to talk to him. The offensive line, not shying away from it. It hasn't been where they want it to be, obviously. But he's starting to see maybe some of the things click that have been missing in the past. And I think that's a credit to guys getting older and then bringing in some younger guys like Joey Ramos, Trevor Downing, Rob Hudson is a name that came up too. So I think it's just a matter of getting that the experience, the guys in the system, and then all those sorts of intangibles to line up as well.
You know, wide receiver, a position with the loss of Akeem Butler as he waits to hear his name called at the NFL draft coming up this week. Matthew Eaton also moving on. And last week, Josh Johnson entering the NCAA transfer portal. All of a sudden, another name that had been bandied about. We hadn't seen a ton out of Johnson, but I know a name that we've talked about in the past. Who are some of the receivers you're looking to make an impact this season?
Yeah, I could have seen him actually being a guy that came in there and played outside. But like you mentioned, he wasn't a guy that he had been mentioned a couple times, but not necessarily one of the main guys that have been talked about. So I think you got to look at guys like Sean Shaw, Joe Skates, Landon Akers is a guy from Cedar Rapids that has been brought up a little bit, and he's, you know, super fast on the outside and can beat people off the snap. So I think that's really important, obviously. But I think those three are probably at the top of the chain right now. And then also kind of the added interest in this is going to be what the tight ends do, because you'll have guys like Chase Allen who can flex out maybe a little bit and play in the slot at times to give them a different look and some more versatility there. Charlie Kohler will play attached. Dylan Stainer, they've been moving all around, and he's been in the backfield at that fullback spot and lining up at the Y tight end so he can get out and catch passes. So they're going to try to be as versatile as possible, and that's kind of a, maybe a cliche word and one that everybody uses. But I think they do have some added pieces, even though they lose guys of the caliber of Akeem Butler and Matthew Eaton. They can do maybe some different things now that those guys are getting a little bit older, and they do have some big bodies and some different looks that they can roll out there.
Dylan Motz from the Ames Tribune is our guest. Dylan, is it fair to say that maybe two of the air quote buzz names from the offensive side of the football this spring would be Saner being one and Breece Hall being the other?
Yeah, I think so. I think Breece Hall, naturally, just given his credentials coming in, being a top 10 running back in the country, The number, I think he was the number one or two player out of Kansas. He's, and I think his size is what is so intriguing. He's 6'1", 215, so he's really big and not your prototypical, you know, compact running back. So that kind of adds to maybe what he can do out there. And then Dylan Sainer at 6'7", and 270. He's a guy that obviously, you know, he's, if he was less athletic, I think he'd be playing offensive line, but he can really get out. And Alex Golish, the tight ends coach, said he can, you know, he has really good hands, can catch, can run a little bit better than maybe what you would assume. So I think those two guys, you know, as much as anybody, are kind of those intriguing chess type pieces that you can move around and do a lot of different things with. For Paul, maybe you can throw him outside and have him catch some passes. And then Dylan Sainer, you can put him in the backfield, can play him attached, and then maybe can play him unattached a little bit at times too. So a lot of possibilities, and I think that's kind of maybe what the theme of the spring has been, is trying different guys out at different spots.
Dylan, you obviously know this team inside and out. You have, you know, people you talk to that kind of give you information. Has there been a surprise name, a name that you would thought maybe was buried a little bit deeper on the depth chart that you've heard of had a good spring? Any surprises to you of the people you've talked to and heard about going on throughout the spring?
Yeah, I don't know if this is necessarily a surprise, but it's just, these are names that have kind of caught my eye with. You know, Will McDonald is a guy that's been with a lot of buzz at linebacker. He's 6'4", so he's built kind of a little bit different too. Really athletic, and they can have some versatility in the defense with him, where they'll play that 3-3 stack type of defense. But with him, because of his defensive line background, maybe you can play him up a little bit and you can disguise some coverages a little bit more. And if he can kind of hone some of the pass coverage that he has to do, that makes him really dangerous. And then Chandler Pulvermacher and Gary Vaughn, both redshirt freshmen who can come in and really give them depth at linebacker too. I think people kind of know what they have already with Mike Rose, with Marcel Spears, with Jake Hummel and Orion Vance, those guys that have played more so. But now they're kind of filling it out with depth, especially at the other side, opposite Spears, guys like Will McDonald or Chandler Pulvermacher or Gary Vaughn. Having their names in there, especially these young guys, I think is kind of intriguing and something I'm going to be kind of keyed in on as they get into preseason camp in a few months.
What about injuries, Dylan? Did they come through for the most part unscathed? Is there something that's going to require surgery and rehab prior to August?
Yeah, Matt Campbell kind of downplayed a lot of maybe what was going on. A few of the guys that were mentioned were Jaquan Bailey, Cordarius Bailey, Bryce Meeker, and those guys all sound like they're going to be fine. Matt had said that Jaquan could be back in a couple weeks and ready to go. So really kind of minor things. And then there were a couple guys in the blue jerseys, which means non-contact, and they were out there on the field but not doing as much, guys like Johnny Lang and Daytron Young. You know, it sounds like for the most part they really got through pretty well. And the good thing about that is it can kind of give them time to look at guys like Gary Vaughn or Chandler Pulvermacher and see what they have in terms of depth. So I think you don't want anybody to get injured. You want to kind of come through healthy, but that's kind of maybe the silver lining in it as you get to see a lot of those different names kind of come to the surface and get some experience.
Over to a little basketball as Dylan Montz joins us from the Ames Tribune. I saw a report, Rajon Tucker, a grad transfer, is not only has his name in the NBA draft, but is also looking around if the NBA draft doesn't go his way, making a grad transfer from Arkansas Little Rock for his final season. Sounds like Iowa State is going to get a visit out of him. Certainly a very talented guy if the NBA route doesn't work out. What are you hearing about Rajon Tucker?
Yeah, it sounds like one that kind of popped up here recently. And obviously with graduate transfers, that's such a – they're so coveted because of, you know, their experience that they've had at those other schools, maybe what they can come in and do. But, you know, I saw the reports. It sounds like West Virginia, Auburn, Memphis, Kansas, South Carolina were all in the mix. Given what Iowa State – you know, in terms of what their depth is going to be like and who they have returning, you know, losing 5-6 guys now, a couple to the NBA draft and a couple to graduation, one leaving and Cameron Lard. They need guys that can come in and be a little bit of a spark and kind of offset some of the inexperience that they do have. You know, obviously that Tyrese Haliburton coming back is key. Solomon Young is kind of a guy that people forget about. Mm-hmm. Having him back is going to be, you know, kind of a luxury. But having a guy that's you know, done it at a high level, was highly relied on at his previous school to come in and be kind of a bridge a little bit is important. So it if Iowa State could seal the deal on that, it would certainly be a nice get.
Last thing, Dylan, we'll talk to you next week and we'll recap what happened in the draft. But in your mind, are both Montgomery and Butler gone prior to Saturday, meaning, you know, second and third round in all likelihood on Friday night? Or does one of them slip to Saturday?
At the risk of, being wrong, I'll say they're both day two picks. I think kind of the consensus is that Butler's moved his way maybe up into the second round.
Yep.
Really kind of, I know people have talked about him flirting with the first round pick and, you know, as low as third maybe, but it sounds like he's maybe kind of settled in the second round range. And then running backs, it's, Josh Jacobs from Alabama is going to go pretty high. And then it's just kind of a, up to the teams who they like best. And Montgomery's not going to kill you with speed or anything, but he does so many different things that, a team could fall in love with him and take him in the second round. But I don't think either guy falls below the third.
I'm with you. Dylan Montz, Ames Tribune, AmesTrib.com for the football coverage, and now some Drake Relays coverage out of Dylan coming up. Dylan, we'll talk to you next week as we cut back on your work schedule a little bit. We appreciate what you've done the twice weekly from seemingly the July right through last week. So appreciate that, Dylan. We will talk to you next week, okay?
Sounds good, guys. Always great to be with you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Dylan Montz, Ames Tribune, AmesTrib.com to read Dylan's, Travis Hines, Hayes Gardner, and the entire paper over there, AmesTrib.com.
Spring football getting to a close.
Yep.
How you feel about this Iowa State team?
Really good.
Love the roster.
I do, too.
What you said at the top, where we normally look at that offensive line.
Trent, it's easy to find a weakness.
Look at that linebacker, whatever it may be.
Right.
Really don't do that.
Not anymore. Not since he's taken over the program.
I mentioned wide receivers. We didn't even talk about DeShante Jones and Tariq
Milton. Right? Both of those kids.
We talked about some of the depth pieces, but those two are given after losing two. Not only Hakeem Butler,
I like Matthew Wheaton. I'm glad you brought him up.
I was a big Eaton fan. He was a guy I was left wanting more.
Right.
I think maybe in past Iowa State teams, he probably would have had more
plenty
snaps.
Of opportunities. Yeah. Yes.
But because of the depth, and you don't have to be out there. You don't have to play 70 snaps and run 70 or 45 routes.
Yeah, Marchie Murdoch took his playing time the year before that, right? They've had some guys there.
They've
had some guys, and
they
got some guys
roster.
Here. Yeah.
Up and down. Good players.
There is. A quarterback players. Who's, we saw enough about him. I think the running game, it's not David Montgomery, but they're going to be fine.
But until I see it, I still have a little Missouri in me. I need to show me.
Okay.
The tight end talk, until we see somebody catch like 15 passes, can we just slow down?
I can't because I love Kohler.
I know. He's really good. And Chase Allen's really talented.
Yes.
And Sanders has been good.
One of the surprises of spring.
I mean, if I put the over-under, will a tight end get to 20 catches this year?
Oh.
See?
The answer is yes. I believe that this is finally the year that they break
you
that threshold.
You get the field. You get any one of those three we mentioned.
I think Milton's going to catch a ton of balls, and I've been in the Jones camp since he was a freshman.
Oh, he burst onto the scene.
Yes, he did.
And he doesn't. He's a football fast guy. Like you hear people, he's not really fast. Looks fast on a football field.
You know what was fast? This 2 hours.
Flew by, huh?
It really and truly did. Just poof. So tomorrow, Zuba Mahente is going to be here. Mm-hmm. Joe O'Donnell will be here. Game two for the Iowa Wild. You told me off air, the Bucks are actually down 2-0 in their series.
Yes, and they play their back home. They started in
Tri-Cities.
Yeah. Kearney?
Kearney, Nebraska? Is that where they are? I don't know.
I believe so.
Okay.
But down 2-0. So five-game series.
Yeah.
I win three in a row.
And this you said was the best team? Of the bracket.
Yep.
So it's too bad, but I mean, if you're a hockey fan, localized, and you want to support one of the locals, you got to choose tomorrow.
That's too bad, yeah.
Right? The Wild are at home, and so are the Bucks at home. Well, Joe O'Donnell's going to join us tomorrow. We'll preview that. Green Bay Packers with Dave Sinekin. Don't have that confirmed yet, but he'll be one out of the next 2 days. Look forward to speaking Packers. Noah Fant at 12 seems to be consensus, if Hawkinson is gone, that the Packers want a tight end. Both of the Hawk tight ends could be off the board in the first dozen picks. That's crazy. I'm not saying it's not worth it. It's just think about it.
There is some misinformation out there, too. I've seen a lot of this about the usage of two tight ends. I would use two tight end sets. I think it was 64% of the time.
I saw Doc Rebuta guy. Yeah. He's just because this guy came back with all the stats and said, no, that's not how it was.
Right.
Right.
I believe Scott Docterman's
numbers.
Yeah,
I do too. He's in the press box charting every play. I'll take his word for it.
I mean, those guys, him and Mark and Chad and all the beat guys.
Yeah. Kakert.
You think it's just sitting up there and watching a ball game.
Right.
They are working.
Right.
And they think it's, well, you go watch a 3-hour game and get a couple interviews, you're done. That is not the case at all. It is a labor-intensive day of football for them.
It's Solskjaer's one tweet seemingly after. Now, I think there's a little overkill on that, and maybe that's just because I follow. It's not exclusive to them, although the Cyclones on during their game as well. A lot of game tweets going on, but anyways, it comes with the territory,
right? It does. What are you watching tonight?
Well, I'm going to watch. Cubs are off, right?
They are.
Milwaukee Cardinals is a good series.
It's a good one.
NBA does nothing for me. There's no drama.
Same.
I'm going to watch the Stars and the Preds.
Early. That was the one that jumped out to me.
Yeah, and that's the 8:30 game, right? It's Preds, Capitals first.
And I'm wagering on the Preds.
Are you gonna, so you think they'll bounce back and take game three and force game seven on Wednesday night? Okay, I'll sign up for that. I hope you're right.
So, and I get plus money at it. That's another reason. Plus 120.
Mm-hmm.
Figured that was a good one.
Yeah, I think so too.
Baseball, Twins, Astros. I've seen this song and dance the last 3 years, and it hasn't been pretty for them.
Although, you know what? I know it's Baltimore, right? I know it's Baltimore. But when you've got a team like Baltimore who's not as good as you, beat them. And they did.
They did.
They
11 homers
them.
On the doubleheader on Saturday.
Good. Take care of business. And
they can rake.
And look where they are in the standing strength. That would be right at the top of the Central Division.
That
of the
bullpen,
American.
Though.
I hear you. Thank you for being here today. If you missed any portion of the program, you can go to kxno.com. Check the podcast link. Murph and Andy at 2, the Fanatics at 4. The Morning Rush will start it all over again on a Tuesday. Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO.